God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading, the second letter written to the churches in John's Revelation, chapter 2, 8 through 11, to the church in Smyrna. It's kind of interesting, in this letter we have a little bit of a change of pace. In this letter there is no condemnation. Kind of strange, because usually in these letters, there's usually some sort of condemnation. Even in Paul's letters, there was some sort of condemnation to the church and saying, okay, church, this is what you need to do because you're doing it wrong. Not in this letter. This letter has another interesting message. It's not that they are doing something wrong. It's that they're going to suffer. They're going to die. You're going to be put into prison, even to the point of death. So the mood still is not just a happy mood and saying, hi, how are you? How are the wife and kids? It's still a very solemn mood. What would happen if I told you being a member here at Trinity would cost you your life within a year or two? How many of you would still want to retain your membership? Fortunately for us, today in the United States of America, we don't live under the type of persecution. But when John was writing this to the Christian churches, they were living in that type of persecution where they may even have to die for the faith. What we want to sort of cover in today's lesson is a little bit of a comparison, because we're not necessarily under the same persecution per se. Christianity is allowed in the United States of America, so we don't understand what it's truly like to be under persecution, at least by the government. So I'm going to pick on persecution sort of a different way. How many times in our life do we ever feel persecuted in the way that something bad is happening to us who are Christians? Something evil has just crossed our path. Some sort of torment and suffering. And have we ever said to God, God, you know, this isn't really fair. I've been faithful for many years. Why does something bad have to cross my path? Why does it always seem like the good guy always loses and the bad guy wins? If you haven't had these thoughts, you need to pat yourself on the back. I venture to say most of us Christians have had these thoughts. And saying, you know, life just isn't fair. It's just not just. The good people seem to suffer the most, where the bad people seem to get all the benefits and all the breaks. Well, if that has been your thought, I just want you to hang on to that thought for a moment and attach it to the concept of being persecuted for the faith. We may say, it's not fair. We may challenge God in saying, woe to me. Why is this happening to me in my life? Why don't I have the good things in life? Why can't we just have a Christianity that says, if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, everything is going to go your way? A Christianity that says you're going to have the ideal life. You'll have money. You'll have security. You'll have joy. But too often, as we take a look at our own life, we have a certain sense of security, a certain sense of joy, but not like we really would like to have it. So now what do we do? Well, for tonight, first of all, to start out with, after that is the introduction, I'm going to say we need to look at the cross. Because too often in our lives we like to think about the injustices, and we like to think that we're even being gypped from time to time. And so to our own soul, to our own self, we need to kind of preach this message. We need to look at the cross of Jesus. Remember who he is. Being true man and true God, the creator of the world, he should have been served by his creation. So when he takes on flesh and blood and being born in Bethlehem, kings, princesses, all the rich and famous should be bowing down to him. And isn't it strange we see him on the cross dying for each and every one of us? He suffered in our behalf. He suffered for sinners, for all people, even the worst evil people in the whole world, he died for the forgiveness of their sins. He was even deserted by his disciples, rejected by the Jews, and his own people would rather have freed a robber than letting their Savior go free. He was crucified by the Gentiles and bore the sins of all mankind. As we see his suffering and death, we have to ask, was that fair? Was that just? And the answer was no. He was innocent, more innocent than you think you are. He perfectly was innocent. And when we compare our own life to his situation, what occurred, how can we even do any comparison? He deserved to be in heaven, to have everyone bow down to him, but chose to be crucified on the cross for people who are arrogant, who are sinful, full of pride, and quickly complain. It sounds kind of strange. God, even knowing all that, still trying to go through his plan of salvation by dying on the cross. It's interesting, as we take a look at our own lives and sometimes feel injustice, maybe we should also take a look at the lives of some other people. How many of us realize that even King David, you know, the greatest king of all Israel, so to speak, spent years in exile? He did rule for 40 years, in which there was a wonderful time of prosperity, but not all of it was was not always prosperous. Do we not remember Job, who sat in ashes, weeping and mourning? Or remember John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, fasting and wearing garments of camel skin? Peter, one of the most faithful disciples, so to speak, was crucified. James, beheaded by the sword of Herod. And even Jesus' own mother, Mary, had to be there at the time of the crucifixion of her son with a pierced heart, as Scripture says. Yes, there are going to be persecutions. There are going to be injustices, so to speak. And the Christian may even try to offer up some of these to God and saying, God, woe to me. But then there's also another message we need to hear from Scripture. That message that says, can we not suffer for a little while, knowing that eternal life is forever? What is our life compared to the entire eternity of the world? The average human lifespan to be in the 70s? Say we live 80s, 90s, maybe even to 100 or 110. Compared to eternity with heaven. And if all those years were spent in pain and misery, wouldn't then still be worth it? But take a look at your prayer requests. Take a look at your woe to me stories. Take a look at what you perceive as the injustice in the world around you. How does that compare to your faith? Truly, as we take a look at our own hearts, our own sinfulness, we see that, yeah, we haven't measured up to God's glory. We do not deserve the gift of eternal life. Why would God want to suffer pain and torment of the cross for us, who are sinners? See, one of the problems we have to realize that we run into is, even though as the one hymn sort of sets it correctly, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home, we have all made little homes for us here. Sort of picture it this way. Once you fill a cup with water, you can't add any more liquid to it. You have to empty it of its water before you add something else to it. Likewise, so it is with us as human beings. You have to empty us of our love for the world in order to fill it up with the love for Christ. So, tonight the challenge is, who do you love? What are you hanging on to? Are you hanging on to Christ and Him crucified? Or are you hanging on to the things of this world? How are your prayers and your requests to God? What kind of love is that reflecting? How many times in our lives have we said, "Woe to me," versus how many times in our lives have we said, "Lord, let your will be done and help me to accept it." Truth of the matter is, when persecution comes, I guess then we started finding out how strong our faith really is. John was trying to prepare the church to face a real tough persecution. So he was trying to encourage them in that faith. He doesn't chastise them because he knows that they're doing everything right. But he also knows they're going to have to suffer an awful lot. And in the midst of that suffering, that faith will be proved. Like it is with gold, in order to have real pure gold, you have to keep burning off the impurities. In that burning process, it can get very hot, very uncomfortable. So it is also with us as humans. During that burning off time, we may feel the pressure. We may feel like it's not worth it. And then we have to go back to John's gracious words. Hang on. Hang on to this faith, because in the end we will have the crown of life. And isn't it worth it to endure the temporal punishments of this world? Whether they were created by our own sinfulness and neglect or not is irrelevant. Can we not endure for just a little while, knowing that we will have the crown of eternal life? I can't force you. But like John, I can also encourage you in that faith and say, hang on. God knows what you're going through. Otherwise, this book of Revelation wouldn't be written. God understands that we may feel persecuted, even though we may not be formally persecuted by the government, but we may be feeling like we're persecuted by the injustices of the world around us. Hang on to that faith. Don't give it up for anything. Yes, the love of the world may try to divert us and may try to tell us to give up the faith for a better physical life here on earth. But there's an important truth that we have to remember. One theologian basically said, if you're born once, you die twice. If you are born twice, you die only once. If you're only born once, let me unpack this, basically just your physical birth, not only will you die physically, but you will also die spiritually. But if you're born twice, physically and spiritually, and you hang on to that faith that God has given to you, you only die one physical death, but you will live forever. Is not the glories of eternal life, the crown of life, worth a short period of time of pain and suffering? And truly, if we take a good look at our lives, living in the western suburbs of Chicago compared to the rest of the world, we've got it really easy. But then our sinful nature kicks in, and we like to say, woe to me. Now, I'm not going to say that every single aspect of your life will have a lot of joy. There are a lot of pains and trials. But one thing is certain. Our Lord and Savior has not abandoned us, but has delivered us. He is trying to encourage us with this letter to the people of Smyrna, to hang on to the life that he alone brings. It's a life that the world cannot bring. The world has to deal with the concept of, yes, things will break, things will fall apart, things may be stolen. But there is one thing that will never break, never fall apart, and cannot be taken away from you, and that is the gift of eternal life. So on this day, we hang on to John's words to the church with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. We have to put ourselves in their same position that, yes, we're going to be persecuted, maybe not the same way that Peter was or James was, but in a way that as people living in the western suburbs of Chicago may feel persecuted, we also will be persecuted. But notice in our text, when it talks about some of you will be put in prison and will test you and will suffer persecution for 10 days, it's not a literal 10 days, but it's a 10 days referring to a particular point of time. Is there going to be an end to the 10 days? And the answer is yes. Is there going to be an end to your current physical turmoil in your life right now, or the mental turmoil? Again, the answer is yes. As God says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. That is where we grab our encouragement. Because as we truly take a look at ourselves, we don't deserve that crown of life. We deserve eternal death. We don't deserve to be given the name that Jesus puts upon us at our baptism. We deserve to suffer. We don't deserve to be encouraged with His word. We deserve to be told that we're going to hell. We don't deserve to be strengthened with Christ's own body and blood. We deserve the pains and torments of everlasting fire. We have to be careful when we start saying, woe to me, let there be justice done. I don't want God's justice. I want His grace. I need His encouragement to help me through and to help me overcome my sinful nature that says, woe to me. I need His encouragement because I want to be faithful, even to the point of death, so that I may receive the crown of life. We ask God to strengthen us when our hearts are down and when things are not going our way. We ask God to fill us with His Spirit, to encourage us with His Word, encourage us with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and encourage us with His own very body and blood, and with and under that bread and the wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. We ask God to teach us that patience that trusts in His word so that we will triumph on the last day. As John wrote his letter to the church in Smyrna, and as the title of this message also depicts, to change our way from the fear of death and encouragement to the word of life. So on this day, we ask God to encourage us and to strengthen us and to help us hang on to His word at all costs. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.